I have enjoyed being here, and I thank the Lord for His blessings in this meeting. I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7. Isaiah 56 and 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. That is the reputation that God's house is to have, a place of prayer. It's a place where we can come when we have spiritual needs and meet God. It's a place where we can come and give God the thanks that we owe Him, this house of prayer. I'd like to read from the same place that Brother Marty mentioned a little earlier, Luke chapter 18. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in Thessalonians, Paul told us to pray without ceasing. When it says to pray without ceasing, do you think it's talking about the length of our prayers? How many hours per day we are praying? We can get in a bondage where we feel like we've just got to spend more and more and more time praying, and I don't really think that's what it's talking about. There are people who take prayer beads, and they will pray a prayer, and they'll move a bead, or maybe feel the next bead, and they'll pray a prayer, and they just keep doing that, praying the same prayers over and over. The Buddhists have a prayer string of beads that has 108 beads in it. And they are to chant 100 religious sayings and use the beads to count to make sure that they have done their full 100, and then an additional 8 just in case they lost focus during that 100, which would be easy to do, right? If you're saying some of the same things over and over again, it is easy to lose focus. So they do an extra 8 just to make up for the fact that they may have lost their concentration. I was in a Muslim city one time in the Middle East, and I was on a bus at the airport, and I saw a Muslim man, and I was a little bit surprised. He was using prayer beads. I didn't know the Muslims used those. But they have 99 beads in their string, and they are to repeat the first phrase 33 times. The next phrase, 33 times. And the last phrase, 33 times. And they feel that they have prayed. Is that what the Lord is looking for? That somehow we just spend enough time saying enough words and we have gotten through to heaven? The Catholics also use prayer beads, and they pray a given set of prayers. They will pray certain phrases repeatedly using the beads to make sure they did that phrase the correct number of times. Then they'll move to the next one and the next one. And the claim is it pays loving respect and honor to whom they call Mother Mary. Is this the house of prayer that the Lord is looking for? Is this really what we need when we come to worship service? Pray without ceasing. Is that repeating ourselves without ceasing? Or is there something deeper to it than that? Let's take a look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. I think that praying without ceasing is dealing more with throughout your life. No matter what is coming your way, if you're in times of trouble, if you're in times that are good, make it a pattern of your life and do not ever give it up. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not faint. So it sounds like those are the two options. Either we pray and we hold on to the Lord, or we faint by the wayside. Pray without ceasing, regardless of what is coming our way in life. Let's read in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. The presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We cannot find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So they had the king make a law that no man could pray to anyone but the king for 30 days or be thrown into the lion's den. Verse 9, "Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." That's what I think it means when it says pray without ceasing. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. It doesn't matter if the law is passed to forbid that type of praying. We are not to give up on our communication with God. It's essential to us in our Christian life. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. Prayer is something that goes right along with the whole armor of God. You're familiar with put on the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and all of those things. And then it says right after that, right after we put on all the armor of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So prayer is really a part of the battle plan. It's once we have armed ourselves with Christian armor, praying always with all prayer and supplication. That's required for our success in our Christian fight. How is it that we are to pray? Let's read in Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 and 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, as in heaven, so in earth. So to whom are we to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven." It is not to Mary, it's not to Buddha, it is to our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. We are to have a great respect for the name of God. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And when we come here, we are to have a great respect for God. We are to come with a reverence. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. The scripture says it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And this part of the prayer is an acknowledgement. Lord, I need you every day of my life. I can't make it without you. Will you be with me today? Verse 4, "And forgive us our sins, For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Jesus did not make a very long prayer here. So I would think that everything within his prayer was pretty important. Forgive us of our sins. A part of man coming to God is man to acknowledge and confess his own need, the things that he has done, to be clear with God. Forgiveness, when we've received that of God, it's very important that we be able to give that to other people. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This part of the prayer of lead us not into temptation, it should be the desire of our heart. Lord, I don't even want to get into a place where I might sin against you. When that's the desire of our heart, the Lord will honor that. But if we are being careless in our lives and we're flirting around with temptation, we're very likely to fall. So part of what Jesus was teaching his disciples was the very desire of your heart and prayer to God is, Lord, keep me away from a place where I might fall. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Is Jesus teaching that we should not have public prayer? I think he's teaching that they do it that they may be seen of men for that purpose. Public prayer is fine if it is done for the right purpose. But if the purpose of our prayer is that we can be heard, we can be seen, it raises people's estimation of us, then we have a reward that is short of the reward that we need for having prayer. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Public prayer is fine, assuming that there is a private prayer life backing it up. How long does a prayer need to be effective? It's a human tendency to think, I just haven't prayed quite long enough. I need to add some more words into here to make it my prayer really get through. Consider the thief on the cross. Lord, have mercy on me when you come. Remember me when you come into thy kingdom. That prayer touched the heart of God. And that man was forgiven. He was saved from such a simple, repentant prayer. And I'm sure that when he was in his torture and agony, that to have prayed a long prayer would have been so difficult. Maybe that was about all he could get out, but it touched the heart of God because it came from a heart that was truly repentant. A prayer that is short, but from the heart, means so much more to God than a long, flowery prayer that is put on to be heard of men. What if we are praying and we just feel like we cannot find the right words for our prayer? Does that mean that God's not going to understand or that God will not answer that prayer? Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searcheth the hearts. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There are times that the burdens on us are so heavy that we cannot find words to express. There are things in our hearts that even we don't know. But it says that he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. I am so glad that we have one to intercede to God for us, that knows our hearts, that knows our needs. And all we have to do is come to Him and, Lord, I don't even understand what I need. You see the problem. You know my heart. You know my life. Lord God, have mercy on me. And when we do that from the depths of our heart, the Spirit intercedes for us and speaks the language of God and understands us so well that God is touched and God will answer prayer. There are some hindrances to prayers that I think is very important to consider. 1 Peter 3 and 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Husbands, we can treat our wives in a way that God will notice that, and it will interfere with our ability to have our prayers answered. Our relationship with our fellow man impacts our ability to have our prayers answered. So God, help us. Remember where Jesus said, if your brother has aught against you, to leave your gift and go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and bring your gift. Our relationship with our fellow man, we need to be very careful how we are dealing with our family members, with our neighbors, with whoever it may be, so that God will hear and answer our prayers. Our relationship with God itself impacts whether or not God hears our prayers. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Isaiah 59 and 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So we can have iniquity in our lives that will hinder our prayers from being answered. So our relationship with our fellow man impacts the results of our prayers. Our relationship with God impacts the results of our prayer. If we have iniquities in our life, then we can have God hear us by getting those things taken care of, by asking God's forgiveness. Another hindrance to God answering prayer, I believe, is having a backup plan. If we decide, I am going to pray for so long, and if God doesn't answer prayer, then I'm taking another course of action. If we do that, I believe God knows that. And I believe that will impact whether or not he will answer our prayer. That's not what Jesus taught when he said to be like that woman that importuned before the judge. And she would not give up, no matter how long it took, to have her prayer answered or her request. In order for our prayers to be answered, they must be prayers of faith. James chapter 5 and verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The prayer of faith is a powerful prayer. There are many prayers prayed in our world today. There are people out in the world that will tell us, I'm praying for you, and I appreciate that. But the prayer of faith is what actually gets results. And the results it gets are very powerful. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, this is powerful too, they shall be forgiven him. The prayer of faith. The next verse, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Do you see another potential hindrance to prayers being answered? Confess your faults one to another When we are clearing all these paths between us and our fellow man, when we are clearing the path between us and God, we are making possible for God to answer our prayers. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is a fervent prayer? I think it's a prayer from the heart. I believe it's a prayer that is intense, where maybe the burden is so great or the need is so great, whatever it may be, we just feel so helpless when we get desperate and begin praying fervently. That is the type of prayer that availeth much. But the prayer of what kind of a man? The righteous man availeth much. James 5 and 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. What do you think that means? He was a human just like you and me. He had faults, weaknesses. He had his times of discouragement. But yet God heard and answered his prayers. If God did it for Elias or Elijah, I believe he can do it for us too. He's just like us, apparently. If he could reach God, so can you and so can I. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What was the problem here? The nation was given to idolatry, to Baal worship. And Elijah was very concerned about that. So he prayed, and the Lord brought the drought. And then he prayed again after a long space of time, and the heaven gave rain. Our relationship with God as individuals, as a nation, is very important on whether or not God blesses us, whether or not God answers our prayer. Elias was a man that prayed to the God of heaven. When we want to have our prayers answered, it's important to pray to the right God. The prophets of Baal also prayed, and they were earnest, weren't they? They were very sincere. They jumped upon the altar. They cut themselves. They cried. They kept after it, just like the woman that showed importunity before the judge. But they were praying to the wrong God. I'd like to go to the place that Jesus prayed, Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke 6 and 12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. This is a real challenge to me. Jesus continued all night in prayer. And we were just talking about how long do you have to pray? How long is it before it's an effective prayer? He prayed all night. That's something for us to think about, isn't it? Was it because his prayer wasn't answered? Was it because he wanted his heart to be in the right condition? God needed time to talk to him? These are interesting questions to ask, but this is a real challenge. I think that our mindset toward prayer should be whatever it takes, however long it takes, whatever effort it is, Lord, I need help. I need an answer. Well, this all night in prayer time that Jesus had produced some amazing results. Right after that all night in prayer, he went out and hand-selected the 12 apostles that in turn went out, 11 of them, and revolutionized the world. That's quite a result, isn't it? Right after this all night in prayer, Jesus ascended into the Mount and gave the Sermon on the Mount, which was the foundation of the gospel. Do you suppose any of those thoughts came to him during that all night of prayer? When we are seeking God so earnestly, When we are intent, that is when God tends to speak to us, when His blessings come. Jesus went out after the all night of prayer and He began casting out unclean spirits. The power of God. I think there's something to it. I think we need to consider, Lord, am I prayerful enough? Am I putting the effort into my prayer life that I ought to be putting? Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus did so many things that I believe it said, if books were written of all the things that he did, the world couldn't contain them. But I'm so glad this was written. Because it gives us an insight, when Jesus was in a very serious time, what were the words that he spoke in his prayer? And I think there's a lesson we can get from this. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Did you know that is the very best time to have prayer going on? When we are facing the worst situations, when we're facing death itself, the heaviest trials we've ever been in our life, prayer is in order. And he said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. He had flesh. He knew pain. He knew the suffering of rejection. But yet, and so he showed what we would feel as humans. Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That submission. Jesus was obedient all the way to death. And that's a lesson for us. This time of earnest prayer, I think, helped prepare Jesus for a time of torture, for the spitting on, the insults, everything that they did, the cry of the multitude ringing in his ears, crucify him, crucify him, when he had done so much for them. The emotional weight of all that. It helped enable him perhaps to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Prayer gives us strength that we don't have within ourselves. Prayer is like our breathing in the physical bodies. It helps us live spiritually. Prayer touches the heart of God and causes Him to give us grace that we need so desperately. I'd like to go to an example of Abraham praying in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 17. Genesis 20 and 17. Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife, and his maidservants, and they bear children. God answered prayer for Abraham. Do you believe that God will answer prayer for us today? I do. I've seen God answer prayer. I've seen Him work miracles. He has helped me so many times in my life. I believe that prayer works today, and I believe we need it today, just like they needed it back then. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 6. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take the serpents away from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. The people had sinned, but they knew where to go, didn't they? They knew the cause of the cause of what they were suffering was their own sins. And they went to Moses and said, Pray unto the Lord. And I believe that Moses knew how to pray the prayer, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. Hannah prayed, and the Lord gave her a child. It was during a time of the history of the nation that they had had a drought for the word of God. And as a result of her very earnest prayer, God gave a prophet that was a wonderful blessing to their nation. The time that Eli saw her praying, just her lips moving, because her heart was so full of sorrow, God heard that prayer, and oh, what a blessing it was to the nation of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 19. Prayer works. It's worked for people in the Old Testament time, and it works today. 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Aren't you glad that when life is too hard for us, when the threats are too great, when our fears are so great, we can come and just spread these things out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art God. Doesn't this sound a little bit like the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven. Hezekiah was acknowledging, You are God. Even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. When we enter into prayer, we start to recognize how much bigger God is than all the problems that we're facing in our life. David said, My feet had well nigh slipped until, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, then I understood their end. There is something about getting in touch with God. It just helps open up our eyes to the real thing. Kind of like the servant of, was it Elijah or Elisha, that couldn't see the chariots of the Lord all around, surrounding them and protecting them from the enemy. Acts chapter 9 and verse 8. Prayer is powerful. Acts chapter 9 and verse 8. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias! And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. I think Saul had prayed plenty of times before this, don't you? But there was something about this time that touched the heart of God. All those previous prayers, in his life as a Pharisee, perhaps standing in the marketplace, perhaps to be heard of men. But now he was actually praying and touching God. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for. for my name's sake. Saul prayed and got a hold of God, and oh, I'm glad he did. The influence he had in the Gentile world to us today, what a blessing Paul has been. But it was after he prayed and got a hold of God. I want to encourage us tonight that we consider prayer as being a great privilege. You think about the time that Esther went to intercede for her people. She went before the king at the risk of her life. Unless he would hold his scepter to her, she would perish. But she went in. But we don't have to have that kind of fear coming before God. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. It's a great privilege. And the Lord wants to hear and answer our prayers. If it seems like I'm just not getting through, I don't see an answer, I don't know what to do, be like that woman that just stayed after the judge. Because the Lord knows, he cares. And if you're living for him, he really cares if you're his child. So I want to encourage you. Sometimes the way looks dark. You may see other people turning back. Whatever it may be, life gets confusing. Life can be discouraging. There are great sorrows in life. God knows all those things. Prayer is a weapon to fight a battle and be successful. Prayer can bring droughts. It can bring an abundance of rain. Prayer can bring down angels from heaven to be our protectors if that's what's needed. Prayer moves the heart of God. Prayer changes relationships between people that were impossible to healing. Prayer can touch God when a person needs spiritual help. It is such a great privilege to have an audience with the eternal God of heaven. Now, I don't think we, any of us here, could get an audience with the governor of the state. Maybe we could. But imagine the God of the universe. To be able to go into his presence, and he welcomes us, he invites us. Whatever our need is, whatever our spiritual need, financial, emotional, whatever it may be, God invites us, and oh, what a privilege. We sang 179 in the service a little bit earlier. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. May the Lord bless.